Okay, this is Graham Thickens here at Corner Coffee in the Warehouse District in downtown Minneapolis. And we're here today with Steve Bent from Microsoft. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and we also have Tim Elliott with us, my colleague at Minovate. Tim, you had a long drive this morning.
longer than it should have been.
All the way from Apple Valley, right? Or Lakeville.
Yeah, Lakeville.
Lakeville,
yeah.
That's right, yeah.
Thanks
yeah.
for coming up.
Well, Steve was nice enough to join us on his short holiday trip to back to Minneapolis from Redmond, where he now works for Microsoft.
That's right.
And he just got into town yesterday, I understand. And
yep. Yeah, just came in to see the family yesterday, so I'm spending about a week here.
Steve left Best Buy to join Microsoft in, was it August?
It was early July.
Early July.
Yeah, I started on July 6th in Redmond. So.
And tell us about your role at Microsoft and what you've been doing for the last few months.
Sure, yeah. Well, like I said, I started in early July, and when I came in, my job was to help refine and get the strategy nailed for the Windows 7 launch from a social media standpoint, and then execute against that launch as well. And then after that, we'd kind of determine what my role would be, and it's emerging right now, and I can talk about that in a little while. But
what is your actual title?
My actual title is the Senior Marketing Manager of Social Media for the Windows Group.
Cool. So, and you report up through the...
I report up through the Consumer Marketing Group. The VP is Brad Brooks, who runs the group. And my direct boss is Marty Collins, who started the social media group in the Windows team.
Okay.
So that's separate from the evangelism group that Robert Scoble was in at the last Windows Vista launch?
Yeah, we are in the business group, the Windows business group. We have responsibilities to help with the marketing objectives and the product. So it's very different than the role that Robert was in.
So how has the social media outreach changed since I would consider Vista to be the first Windows launch that included social media aspects, but mostly blogging and video, but now there's a lot of other things to choose from. So can you talk a little bit about kind of your strategy, what you learned from Vista, and now applying to Windows 7?
Yeah, I wasn't there for the Vista time period, but I can see a definite change in what happened in the marketplace. I think the adoption of social media since the Vista launch has been so huge that the opportunities are that much more. Before I came on, Marty had started this group and had done a really nice job of establishing a good presence on Facebook, MySpace, and YouTube, and really established those channels in a really meaningful way to the customers. Just providing content that people like, that they were interacting with and contributing to themselves. And so when Windows 7 came out, they did a great job of releasing it early. The beta came out in January, 10 months before the launch, and what those channels allowed you to do is talk pretty diligently about the product. And what happened is you got a lot more feedback earlier in the process than I think you got with Vista. So you could gauge the reaction of what's going to happen. You can make some of the changes. That listening aspect really played in well. And if you saw with the campaign, Microsoft came out saying, listen, this is your OS. And a lot of that was due to the fact that they were out there putting the product out early, letting people try it, get their hands on it, and make those changes.
So you were launching all new social media sites or accounts early or prior to your arrival there, they'd been launched early in 2009 for Windows 7?
Even before that. So I think Marty started the group a couple years ago. So okay. it's been building. And, the goal was is to...
This is unrelated to Vista now?
It's unrelated to Vista.
Okay.
Yeah, Vista was in market, but the goal was, and we put plenty of content of Vista because it was the current operating system out on through those networks, but the goal was to build a really solid community of advocates, people that love the product. And you got to do that by having a great product, first of all, and then obviously listening and providing content that they're interested in, whether that's tips or tricks or sneak peeks or early access or those types of things, keep people engaged. And by the time the Windows 7 launch happened on 10/22, we had a really good network of advocates that were really excited about the product. So we could kind of see that there was some positive momentum happening, and that informed a lot of the strategies that we put in place.
Mm-hmm. So. I've been personally part of the betas since Windows XP. So as I look at XP, Vista, and now Windows 7, the company has been a lot more generous about the way that you've put out official release candidates and betas. And I'm still using the beta now, in fact. I haven't gotten the retail version to upgrade yet. I know that I've got to do that a couple of months before.
It's time. Eventually,
you'll have to. Bomb goes off.
So was that a strategic kind of move to get and seed more people so you could get that feedback?
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
And that's the going forward plan for Windows 8 or whatever you're going to call the next release.
It's the same sort of deal. You know, I think it worked out really well for Windows 7. And again, it wouldn't have worked the way it did if the product wasn't a really solid product. Mm-hmm. It would probably work the opposite. So it's got to start with the product. But what we've been able to do is now have a listening pipe, basically, that we can see what's great about Windows 7. We know it was bad about Vista, what people didn't like. We know it's great about Windows 7. You hope to take that momentum, build it into Windows 8 whenever that's going to be released.
How much of your time do you spend listening versus, you know, adding content to your social media channels?
We have help with the listening piece of it.
Because you must. Yeah.
That's what's crazy is coming from Best Buy to Windows, mm-hmm. the volume of conversation, I wasn't ready for it.
Wow.
To be honest, because when Microsoft does something, the reaction, you know, it can either be good or bad or mixed. Is huge regardless. I mean, the volume is just insane. So that was really an eye-opener coming in. So we have help. We have engagement teams that go out. We use TrueCast and Radian 6 to go out and look for our
trends. What was the first one?
TrueCast.
Oh, okay.
And we look at impressions. We look at sentiment. We look at reach. We try to dig down into verbatims to find out what people are saying. And then, obviously, our walls on Facebook are filled with content, so we're pretty active within that as well.
Do you use outside agencies to help you with this, as well as these tools that you use in-house?
We do. Yep. Okay. Yep, we have a number of agencies that help us with our strategy and execution on things. So.
What kinds of agencies are they? Would you call them interactive agencies, or are they true social media-focused?
They're social media focused agencies. So there's a local agency in Seattle that we use that does a lot of our analysis on the data that we get in. And so that helps from a resource standpoint. There's an agency out of North Carolina that does, it's a social media agency that does the actual development of our tabs and stuff on Facebook. And we set the strategy and they help us with ideas and production on those ideas.
You don't happen to work with the locally based Gage at all? I know they're a Microsoft agency, but they're other parts of the company.
Nope.
So you've got these agencies helping you, and you've got an internal staff. So does that listening aspect of it that they manage help you focus more than on strategy and content yourself then?
Yeah, it definitely does. And that helps hugely because you know how much time you have to invest in that. One of the things that I think we're trying to do better is get more qualitative data around what people are saying in a different way. And so one of the things we're doing for the second half of our fiscal year, which starts in January, is we're commissioning some studies to actually go out and look at what are some of the positive things and negative things people are saying about Windows 7 and look at some big trends. And that will help us with our outreach. That will help us help people overcome barriers if there's some consistent things that we see. And we're working with a company called Crimson Hexagon, and they're out of Boston, and they're in relatively early in their stages. But they've got some algorithms that will go out and look at emotion and meaning behind the conversation, so it takes it beyond sentiment, which is interesting. Yeah. So we're hoping to use that information to have a more precise engagement strategy, I think, is the best way of looking at it. So.
Now, how does your social media strategy, as you manage it there, dovetail with public relations? And in both internal and obviously there are a number of PR agencies for Microsoft as well.
Yep.
Do you end up working with these folks in your group?
We do. Yeah, we do. We're really tight with our PR group. A lot of the work we do overlaps.
And so I was going to say,
we're really tightly tuned about what they're talking about, what we're talking about. When it comes to actual, working with bloggers and kind of doing some more influential marketing, the PR group drives that.
They do.
We're more about the Windows fanatics and kind of the heavy users.
Yes. Yeah. So. Yeah. But then you obviously see media opportunities from time to time, I suppose, too. So you have to be in close communication with them. Are they physically located near you?
The PR group, the way it's organized, there's a team dedicated to the Windows business group. We work closely with them. They sit in the same building as us.
Okay.
We're also tied tightly with the central marketing group, which is kind of the Microsoft marketing group, and we're always working together on campaigns.
Are they in the same facility too?
Different building. I mean, there's about 40 of them.
It's a big campus. I've never actually been there, although I've been to the Mountain View campus, which is just one building.
Yep.
But Well, let's...
So there are several elements of the Windows 7 launch that I found interesting from a marketing perspective, and one of which is this whole house party idea.
Yeah.
I know you work with a company that's all they do. So kind of, how did that come about, and what was the result of that?
You know, it's interesting because that has some overlap with social media. It didn't come out of our group. It came out of the promotional marketing team within the Windows group. And they did work with a company called House Party, uh-huh. East Coast.
House Party?
Yeah, House Party International. And they organized these events. And so, you know, they took a more traditional direct marketing approach to that. Mm-hmm. What we try to do from a social media standpoint is complement the strategy of activating your enthusiasts. But we did it in a more organic way, I guess. So we built some kits and some badges and things like that that we put on our pages. And we took the meetup approach instead of doing organized house parties. Mm-hmm. We said, all right, we know people are going to be fanatical about this, and we'll probably show off the OS and probably save them a lot of time by doing that, so they don't have to have the same conversation 18 times if they're an expert or a fan. So let's work with Meetup. We worked with Meetup.com. We sponsored some of the groups. We started some new groups. Worked with Best Buy to host meetups in their stores. So customers could come and actually get hands-on experience with the product. And then our most fanatical users could actually go out and spread the news about it as well. So that's the approach we took. And House Party, you know, did their thing. And between the two, I think we kind of had the market covered. So.
Right. So you probably saw firsthand some of the reaction to that video.
Yes, I did.
Which went viral, yeah, maybe not for the right reasons, but I think you still got a lot of play for it.
Yeah, I think the parodies were absolutely hilarious, to be honest with you. So I can send you some if you don't have them.
Yeah, no, I like the one that bleeps out certain words. And
simplicity is brilliant.
Yeah, that was good. But anyway, I think seriously, you did get a lot of social media outreach from that thing, even though it didn't probably go the way it was intended.
Yeah, you know, those were never intended in the way that they were presented. And the team that made them was, you know, they were supposed to go to the organizers of the parties. So, you know how that works.
Yeah,
I think there was some regret about how all that went down, but in the end, you're right. You know, the VP of the consumer group talks really well about the house parties. The reaction you got from that and the change in perception from the people that actually attended those was pretty astonishing. They did, you know, pre- and post-surveys, and that actually moved the dial quite a bit. People really looking to pick up Windows 7. So
one other interesting thing is right on the Microsoft website, you do have a kind of an aggregator that you're taking what looks like live conversations and you're republishing them.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's being heavily filtered, but how is that done? Is that all automated, or is there a team of people looking at what's going on and then kind of approving? Or
I'm glad you asked about that, actually. That's one of the things that I was working on when I came in. So what we did is we went around through Microsoft and looked for some technology that we could use. And in the Evangelist group, they happened to be working on something that was much like Radian 6 or TrueCast. It was a social media monitoring tool. It's called Looking Glass, and it's in beta right now. And it's starting to be productized. What we did is we said, all right, we want to build an aggregator. What we want to do is not filter, but we want to try to take what people are saying and categorize that into buckets that will be easier for people to understand and dig into. Mm-hmm. So the idea wasn't to say yes or no to all the content, but to sort it in a smart way. So we use this Looking Glass application to pull in all the content, and then we built a moderator application on top of it where moderators could go in and tag things and approve things or unapprove things. So we took out spam, we took out anything that was over PG-13, I guess, because it's more of a family site. And we did have a team of moderators that went in and actually assigned the content to different categories. Mm-hmm. What we found in that, which was really interesting, is that and now that it's kind of in hindsight, it's obvious, people weren't talking about the product the way that we thought they would be. And so the categorization didn't really work the way we thought it was going to work. So we kind of pulled those categories out and said, all right, here's all the conversations that's happening on Windows 7. In the future, what we're looking to do is tie that content closer to the experience of upgrading, purchasing, learning more about Windows 7. So bringing that right into the Windows.com experience. It's one of the things I'm trying to work on. Of all that, so it's a little bit of a smarter filter, so you don't need moderators in there, but it just assigns tags based on the keywords that are coming in. And then creating kind of a discovery layer. So when users come to that site, they're not just seeing, here's a constant flow of conversation, but it's organized in a way that can help me learn more about what I'm interested in. So I think there's a really cool opportunity to start using social media content in a way that helps solve customer problems in a more impactful way than we're doing today. And so we're hoping to get there in H2 and, you know, our second half of the year and learn more as we go along.
Yeah, I want to touch on the customer service aspect of what you're doing, but kind of going back to your comment there, how were the comments different than you expected?
It's funny to see it evolve over time. You know, I think we thought at first people would be talking about the products that they liked or the features that they liked in the product.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't that. It was a general excitement. It's like, I got it. I installed it. It works. It's, you know, it's great. Or having this problem or this isn't quite working. But it wasn't really into the, or it's taking 2 hours. To, it should only take an hour. You know, that type of content. It wasn't really into, I like Snap or I like this feature or that feature, which that's where we kind of had things categorized. But after about the first month and a half, you start to see that conversation shift. It went beyond the excitement to the things that you'd see people doing with the product, whether they're having compatibility issues or it went really smooth or they're loving these features and those features. So now we can see some good trends coming that we can just start to create some pretty meaningful buckets of information for people, I think.
Mm-hmm. So are you using Twitter and Facebook and other social media sites sort of in your customer support kind of function for when you see people having trouble or maybe asking questions?
Yep, yeah, and in our outreach, you know, through our Twitter handle, MS Windows, we try to help as much as we can. We're not customer service, so we can only take it so far, but if we can't answer a question, we'll direct people to customer service. Mm-hmm. We have a relationship with customer service where they're out on Twitter, and it just started right around the Windows 7 launch where they started to really get engaged, so they're learning their way through it.
Now, what size of a staff is required for that?
You know,
that's got to be big.
They've got a good group. I've been working with the director of the group who's been great, and you know, they're learning their way into it much. Mm-hmm. And it just reminds me a lot of Best Buy, because Best Buy, you know, was doing it for a couple of years, and it started out with a very small team and has grown into something much bigger. So. Yeah.
How big is your group, the Windows 7 marketing group? We didn't talk about how many people approximately.
Yeah, you know, I'm a couple hundred.
Okay.
A few hundred, maybe a couple hundred.
Pretty much all there in that location.
Maybe a couple hundred.
And how big is the evangelism group now? I have no feeling on or.
You know, I've worked with some small teams over there, so I'm not sure. Again, 6 months in, it's, you know, kind of learning my way around the organization. So.
There probably is no Robert Scoble lone figure anymore like he was when he started out on that. When was that, like 06 or 05 or how far back?
No one I've seen has filled his shoes.
or his moccasins, as Tim would say.
There's not that outlier like Robert. You know, there's a lot more, I think there's a lot more bloggers that are more active in the business groups and across the development.
Yeah, obviously blogging has grown leaps and bounds since he pioneered and we talked about Robert a little earlier before we started the recording, and you were mentioning he doesn't really have that much to do with Microsoft anymore.
See much in his conversation, I haven't heard much about him being there. I mean, he's on to different things with Rackspace. I'm sure he still stays in touch with the people that.
Well, and obviously he still talks about Microsoft a lot.
You need to.
Social media channel. Yeah. He talks about everything, though, I guess. So. Well, talking about Robert, when I last saw him at Defrag, I think of conferences. That makes me want to ask you: Do you get any time away to attend any conferences, or have you been speaking at any?
I haven't been speaking at any yet. I've been so locked
heads down.
I mean, literally from the day I started July 6th through October 22nd, which was the launch, and actually a couple weeks after, it was pretty insane, and
it started
to get some breathing room, and then we went into our second half plans. So
yeah,
it's been pretty busy. I'm hoping to get some conferences in January. In February, I'm going to be going down. Jeremiah Oyang's having a dinner in San Francisco in a couple weeks. I'm going to go down.
Oh, what's that event? Is that the Altimeter Group sponsored?
It's
thing,
not. I can't remember the name. He's on the board of an organization down there. They're doing a dinner with some speakers, so it'll be just kind of a casual networking event. So
that'll be nice.
Be down doing that, meeting some people in San Francisco.
Well, that's nice. Yeah, you'll get a chance to break away for a little while.
I miss the conferences. I miss the networking. I'll try to keep up with much.
Yeah, you were a popular conference speaker there. You and Gary Coling.
He's cut back a little bit as well.
He's, yeah, I suppose. Well, you guys used to do a lot together,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's fun.
Now, I asked you earlier, you're going to see your buddies at Best Buy later today or tomorrow?
Tomorrow we're going to do a little New Year's Eve celebration.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Raise a little glass out there?
A couple of them, yeah.
So... So that kind of gets me into the line of questioning where I wanted to go is what it's been like for you to leave a long-standing employer. How many years were you at Best Buy?
There about 4 or 5 years. Right,
well, yeah. And obviously you were held in very high regard and enjoyed your time there, and obviously still have a lot of friends there. But
definitely.
What was it like to leave that culture of a retailer and go to Microsoft, which I guess is a retailer too, in some respects now with their stores,
yep,
but is very much a technology company. And what was that part of the culture like? And what was it like picking up and moving your whole family to another state? Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, the family piece was easy. My wife is from the area, Seattle area, so that was easy. And we knew we loved Seattle, so that, and the kids adapted. They're young, so they adapted great. You know, I think when I started looking at the opportunity for Microsoft, the thing that was attractive to me was learning a different side of the business. And I love Best Buy, and I will always love Best Buy because they gave so many great opportunities. There's so many great people over there. But what I loved about it was so entrepreneurial. I mean,
yes.
You could really, if you had an idea, you were passionate about it, you could tie it back to the business,
yep,
and show a definite benefit. You had some room. It's a really good room. Not to say you don't get that at Microsoft, but it's a very different... It's a very different culture that way. That entrepreneurialism happens there. The group I'm in a business group again. So like I mentioned, I'm responsible for the marketing goals and moving product. So it's this very different environment. But what I like about it is I'm so tied to the business. So the things I do are really tightly tied to the business. Where at Best Buy, when I say the business, I mean the numbers, you know, moving product. At Best Buy, we were looking at how to organize differently to do work, which had an impact on the business in a long-term effect, but it wasn't as direct. So now that I'm as tightly tied to the business, I'm learning a whole new set of things, which I like.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm being exposed to some different technology that I have before. I mean, I was an open source development junkie, Amazon and Google cloud junkie, and coming into Microsoft, it's a whole new skill set.
Yeah.
That's been really eye-opening, so it's been good.
Are you learning all about the new Azure cloud computing environment?
Yeah, actually, this the application that you mentioned earlier, the aggregator, we're looking at Azure as a back end for that. Right now, we use a different dynamic computing environment within Microsoft to host that, but Azure is definitely on our list. I want to get some more experience with that. So.
Maybe we should move into getting some of their feelings about if you want to speak to Microsoft's position as relates to the cloud. I mean, what would you say about, because obviously it's a whole new era for a company like Microsoft.
Yeah, well, you know, all I can really say is it's core to their strategy.
Oh, yeah.
And what I've heard about Azure, it's new, it's early, but it's really, it's promising. It's very promising. I just talked to some developers who just implemented some things out for NASA, actually, and they really, really liked it when they got there. You know, it was growing pains with, and it was for Google and Amazon as well. So, yeah, I'm not that close enough to where I can give you a full analysis.
But I
want to learn more about it,
yeah,
and I do that best by actually working with it.
Well, one of the things that obviously the company has to be tracking is what Google's doing with their operating system, Chrome.
Right.
And looking at the way that Windows 7 came out, you've got a starter edition, which is sort of a stripped-down version for netbooks and other, you know, low-power computing systems. Do you see that as you move into the next release of Windows kind of evolving so that you might have a version of Windows that will be specially done for a tablet or for a netbook? Something that is mostly browser-based and doesn't have a lot of the kind of bells and whistles of a regular computer?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm not close to the product development team, so this is not official. My opinion is that trends are definitely moving
right
that way.
Yeah.
And I would assume that is in the roadmap for Windows 8. We're watching Google closely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm personally excited about it because I want to try the product as soon as I possibly can. And from a competitive standpoint, Microsoft doesn't mess around. You know, they're very diligent about their competitors and understanding what their strengths and weaknesses are. So they'll be watching very closely.
Yep. And mobile is also something that is, you know, obviously huge this year and going forward. Windows Mobile has sort of, you know, established this position in the market, very dominant, lots of handsets out worldwide, but has, from an innovation standpoint, sort of stagnated a bit. And I know that, you know, Windows Mobile 7 is on the horizon here for next year. Are you involved at all in that side of the business?
The mobile group is a separate group, our business group. I can't wait to see what they've got. They have a long ways to go, and they know it. And everyone's working hard on it, especially with Android, given the momentum that's getting right now.
Right. With Android on one side, and then you've got Apple with the iPhone OS on the other side. It'll be kind of interesting to see what you can do with that.
It's true. And when you talk about Azure and mobile and the OS, those are the key priorities. That's public knowledge. Those are the priorities for Microsoft's growth. So three screens and connecting those in a way that's really easy for customers. So, and the media side too.
Right. I think that if you can, or if the company can figure out how to connect all these things together, the mobile piece, operating system on the computer piece, and what's going on in the cloud in new and interesting ways, I think that's the way that the company wins.
Yeah.
Not necessarily coming out with the best mobile experience, the best desktop experience, and the best cloud experience.
Yeah, that's where they're moving. That's how those integrate together.
Mm-hmm.
So that's everything you hear about.
Well, and the other piece we have to bring up is Bing.
Yes.
Now, talk to us about Bing and what your feelings are and experience or observations as you've been in Redmond for the last 6 months.
Well, it's been a huge product launch, and it's the momentum behind it has been enormous, both inside and out. And they brought in some really key players to run that group. I love some of the way they're organizing the information for people. It's just a different approach. I think they were really smart about how they approach different categories with search results and the decision making part of it. It's from a social media standpoint too. They've done a really nice job of going out and talking about Bing and using social media to build some awareness
And is that an internal team too?
It is an internal team. Yep. And I don't know if you've seen the iPhone app that recently came out. iPhone app, but
it's better than the Google one.
It's pretty useful. Yeah, I mean, it's great. I was pleasantly surprised by it actually.
Huh.
So yeah, should download it if you have it.
It's for free. Come on,
it's cool.
Got to do that.
Yeah,
exactly. Got to do that.
Yeah. So I think more good things are going to come from Bing. I think you're going to see obviously more things integrated across the company with it.
When I think of Bing and some of these new initiatives of Microsoft, it makes me think about acquisitions. What are some of the recent acquisitions that Microsoft has made? And any you want to comment on in particular? Or
no,
you really?
Yeah,
you're not going to go there.
I'm not going to go there because I don't know.
Yeah, I have time to keep up on all that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to give you an answer that would be worth.
Yeah. I guess my only thought was I think this is obviously an area that Microsoft is increasing their attention on, as all the big players are, I guess, Google and Apple as well. I mean, if for no other reason, they got to keep up with the Joneses, be looking out for promising new startups. But I also, since I'm involved so much in startups, I see the efforts that Microsoft is making. It's a very good efforts with the BizSpark program. Are you familiar with that, Steve?
Yes.
Yeah, I was shocked to see that the guy leading that, Don Dodge, was suddenly cut loose from Microsoft. And I thought, whoa, I thought this was such a successful program. But then, bam, he's picked up by Google in about 3 microseconds.
Yeah, it was a couple days.
It was crazy, but it seems to me, I've talked to Don I talked to him at TechCrunch 50 last year, because he's been a big supporter of that, and Microsoft and BizSpark has.
Yep.
And I talked to him again at Demo recently, and it seems like he was talking numbers like, that thing was like triple what they expected it might be as far as startups signing on to it. But any particular feelings about that? Or
no, I followed him. I liked him. I don't know what the decisions were around that. I think when I heard about it, I was surprised as everybody else.
Well, and I'm sure the BizSpark program will continue on. I mean, it isn't like the program can't end, but
it's unfortunate that we lost him to Google because I think he's a good asset.
So let's talk about social media and kind of what you see happening in 2010 here, going in. What are the kind of the new and different things that you see emerging that you and the Microsoft team are going to kind of use to continue?
There's a few things, I think. I mentioned this pairing social media content with, I don't want to say e-commerce, but more information about products or services. And I don't think that's been done well yet in a meaningful way for customers. I think that's one of the things we're definitely going to explore. I think there's a lot of benefit to that for the customer. There's kind of the unbiased feedback up front. There's that general endorsement, much like ratings and reviews bring, whether it's positive or negative. Again, you've got to have a great product in order for that strategy to work. But I think there's a lot of room there that can help quite a bit. The other thing that we're starting to look at is location-based, obviously, Foursquare and some of those location-based social networks. So we're starting some work, just some promotional work with that contest giveaway, just to get our feet wet in that space. And I think Facebook Connect and some of that, the social networks like AIR, so Jeremiah or Oyin or Charlene is talking about, where social networks are embedded everywhere where you are, you're going to see more and more of that. And I want to start playing with that personally with Connect and bringing that into the Windows.com experience if we can. It's probably further down the roadmap, but I think there's some really strong things we can do there. So those are the things that we're really focusing on for the next 6 months. And we do 6 month planning cycles, and it works really well. You start 6 months, and then the next 6 months later, there's all new stuff to start looking at, and carry on your programs and adapt them as you can. So
will Windows Live, that suite of services, will that continue to move in and support other social networks, and you're going to continue to bring that in?
Yeah,
sort of the Swiss Army knife approach, as opposed to making that into a social network itself.
Yeah, I know that's part of their roadmap, is more integration with the networks and making that as seamless as possible. There's a lot of work to get there. It's a different team altogether as well. I've used the service, and there's things I like about it, things that I definitely don't. They see all that. They know where the pain points are, and they're addressing it. It's just how fast can they get there.
Well, I would say the same thing about Google Docs too.
Yeah,
some things I like, some things I don't.
Wave as well, and a lot of room for a lot of those technologies.
There's a lot of exciting developments and competition out there. I mean, it can only be a good thing, with Microsoft and Google and Apple all mixing up the pot.
It's good. I think things are going to change up quite a bit over the next 12 months.
I see we've crossed over the half hour point here, and I kind of promised we'd try to keep it in that neighborhood anyway. And I know, Steve, you want to get going and spend the rest of your time here in Minneapolis as best you can. You're only staying, what, 2-3 days?
I'm leaving Monday morning, I think.
Oh, okay, good,
so,
good.
A little time.
Visiting your family here and so forth. You've got the whole family with, obviously.
Yep. Wife and kids are here as well.
Yeah, well, great. Well, hey, thanks for taking the time with us. And definitely say hi to Gary and the gang at Best Buy. And have a little bubbly for us, if you would.
We'll do that. That's no problem. That's
okay. Right. Tim, any final words?
No, thanks.
Thanks.
It's been great. Looking forward to seeing what you guys at Microsoft do next year.
Me too.
Yeah.
It will be interesting.
No one's looking more forward to it than you, Steve.
Exactly.
Hey, well, great seeing you, and all the best in 2010.
Thanks.
Okay. Over and out.